You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 18. I want to remind you that we're in a series of miracles here that Jesus is doing, healing the sick, casting out demons, and that continues in the part we're reading today. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. This is God's Word. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my Father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, Jesus did many miracles that are not even recorded in the Bible. We know that from John's Gospel. John says, if you tried to write down all the miracles Jesus did, it would fill the earth with books. You couldn't possibly compose an account of every miraculous thing that Jesus did. So the ones that are included by design, and they're included by the design of God. The Holy Spirit instructed the writers about what to include, which things needed to be there. So, when we read this, know that these are included for our instruction, not just for our interest or entertainment. And in this story of Jesus telling people that it was costly to follow him, Jesus says some things that are really surprising to us. A man comes and says, "I'll follow you anywhere." And Jesus, you know, I mean, you'd think if Jesus is the kind of fuzzy-wuzzy bear that we want him to be a lot of the time, you'd think that Jesus would have turned and said, "Oh man, that's great. I love your attitude. Come on, let's go." That's not what Jesus said. Jesus knows that oftentimes people think they want to follow Jesus without having a clue about what's involved. And Jesus is marvelously honest. And so he says to this person who's saying, "I'll follow you anywhere," "You need to know that I don't have a mailing address. I don't have a residence that's my home. If you want to follow me, it's going to be a radical change in lifestyle. We're not just going camping, we're living that way." Let me tell you something that this election is doing for me. I don't know if any of you are aware, but the United States is about to elect a president. Yeah. And I am being reminded as never before that I can recall that this world is not my home. that I am not first and foremost an American or a Southerner or a Midwesterner or a Scandinavian or whatever. I mean, I could put all kinds of descriptive terms, but I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And when the gospel needed to be spread around the world in the first century, the Lord brought persecution against His people in Jerusalem. And it was deadly persecution. Instead of just crying about it, the majority of the believers got out of town. They went on the road. They moved elsewhere. And the consequence was that the gospel spread with them all across the Roman Empire. I'm not telling you that I'm planning on packing up and leaving right after the election. What I am telling you is that I'm not going to waste my time lamenting the tragic situation where our country is choosing between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. There are other candidates. Yes, there are, Virginia. But one of those two people is going to be our next president unless God intervenes. And honestly, folks, that's like choosing which means you'd prefer for torture. Okay? Now, frankly, I have a choice. But I want you to understand something. I'm not heavily invested in this election. You won't see a yard sign at my house. Because the fact of the matter is, either way, we're under judgment. Jesus said to this fellow, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." Does that mean Jesus never lay down? No, it means He didn't have a place that was His place. Another disciple said to Him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Well, that seems reasonable. I mean, for goodness sake, let me go bury my father. Jesus' response was, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me." How insensitive. Commentators rush to Jesus' defense and say, undoubtedly, the man's father was still living. What he was saying is, my father is old, and after he dies, I'll have to take care of his burial, and then I'll come follow you. Well, there's nothing in the text to indicate that, but that is possible. So what you're saying is Jesus wasn't being insensitive to a man whose father had just died. He was being insensitive to a man whose father was dying. Feel better now? Jesus is saying something that is vitally honest. And that is, if you think other people, like family, are as important as following me, you don't understand who I am. Let me tell you something. Every single one of us has to deal with this. All of us. Jesus isn't willing to be one of the important things in our life. Jesus is not going to agree to be right up there near the top. If you're going to follow Jesus, nothing else competes. If you're going to follow Jesus, you know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so what Jesus is saying here is, if you don't want to follow me right now, if you're hoping to follow me later, then you're not one of my followers. If you sit here day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you think, you know, I really do believe this stuff is true. I've seen a lot of evidence. I mean, the people here are nice to me, and, you know, I mean, I believe this stuff is true. But I'm just not ready to give my life to Jesus. I mean, believe in Him, yes. Surrender to Him, I'm just not ready. Don't kid yourself then. You still are not a follower of Jesus. You can't have one foot in the boat and one foot on the dock, as we've said before. You can't ride the fence and expect to go places. So, Jesus says, and we need to hear it, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. You notice the next phrase? Jesus said, follow me. His disciples followed him. That's what disciples do. Lord, what are you up to? Lord, where are you going? Lord, what are you doing? I want to be with you. It's not, let me check my calendar, see if this works. I've got some other commitments. No. I love the story of Lottie Moon, who went as a missionary to China. She was washing dishes. She believed God was calling her to go to China as a missionary. She left the dishes in the sink. Went out the door. And headed for the foreign mission field. Why? Because she had become persuaded that that was what God wanted her to do. Now, I've always wondered if maybe she just hated doing dishes. But I don't think that was it, because she did plenty of dishes in China. See, it wasn't about getting away from the routine and the tasks and the nitty-gritty. That wasn't it at all. You don't go to the foreign mission field and find yourself being carried around on a cloud. Elizabeth Elliot, who was a missionary in South America and a wonderful, precious sister in Christ. Elizabeth Elliot wrote a book, and much of it was about her frustration having gone to the foreign mission field, only to discover that most of her time was taken up with walking to the village, getting food, walking back, getting firewood, building a fire, cooking the food, and trying to keep her campsite clean. She said, I had more time for ministry back in the States. I felt like I was more productive back in the States. But I obeyed the call of God to go to this remote jungle area, and most of my time is taken up with unspiritual stuff. You know what? If you want to serve God anywhere, you still have to do the ordinary stuff. Just understand that. Well, I was hoping basically just to go from meeting to meeting where I could speak to people over and over about the love of Jesus Christ. Are you going to take any time to eat? Well, of course I have to have some time to eat. Are you going to take any time to sleep? Well, of course, everybody needs sleep. We all need bathroom breaks. Doesn't seem very spiritual, but it needs to be done. We all have to get from place to place. Well, I read in the Bible where sometimes God just moved a person from one place to the other. Yes, and I am still waiting for God to do that for me. I'd love it. If I'm ever standing here and suddenly I'm gone, you'll know what just happened. And I'll have to figure out where I am now. Wouldn't that be cool? It happened in the Old and New Testament. But that's generally not the case, and that's why when it does happen, it's recorded as miraculous. It's not something that we achieve by reaching a higher level of consciousness. God can do all of that, but He has chosen for us to live in the ordinary. And in the midst of the ordinary, to display His extraordinary grace and power. And so, Jesus, wanting to go to the other side of the lake, didn't say, okay, boys, I'm going to show you something new today. It's called walking on water. He didn't do that. He got in the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, now Matthew's compressing this, obviously, by what happens. They get out on the lake, they're heading toward the eastern shore, and without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. Picture it. The waves aren't just buffeting the boat. The waves are coming over the boat. They're coming into the boat. The boat is in danger of being swamped, and a bunch of these guys who were commercial fishermen by trade, a bunch of these guys are fearing, even though they've been on this lake numerous times since they were young, they are fearing that they're going to drown. They are convinced they're going to die. And so they say, we've got to wake Jesus up. Because Jesus is asleep. I return to my statement about the election. Do you ever feel like the boat is having waves crash over it and Jesus seems to be sleeping? It's like, God, do you not see what's happening? He knows exactly what's happening. He's in control. Don't forget it. But the waves are crashing over our boat. Yep. We're going to drown. Nope. But the waves are crashing over our boat. Yep. We're going to drown. Nope. When they woke Jesus up, what did he say? Oh my goodness, what's going on? Wow, when did this happen? Is that what he said? Nope. Look what he said. You have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Why are we so afraid? We just told you we're going to drown. Jesus turns and says to the storm, be quiet. And the wind stops and the waves stop and the water immediately grows calm. And the disciples said, that is the coolest thing I have ever seen. No, you read the other accounts, they were terrified. See, they were terrified in the storm because of the force and power of the storm. Now they're terrified in the calm because of the force and the power of Jesus. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Better believe it. The wind and the waves obey him. I want you to say that with me. The wind and the waves obey him. If you think that circumstances in our country are out of control and that God is standing in heaven wringing his hands and saying, oh no, oh, I didn't see this coming, then you do not understand what's going on. God is at work. I've been reading the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel talks about all kinds of disasters coming on various people because of their rebellion against God, and how God is going to devastate people in leadership. God is going to just demolish power structures. God is going to humiliate kingdoms. There will be violence. There will be plague. There will be all kinds of problems that will devastate not only God's people, but the nations all around. And God says through Ezekiel, let the people know this is what's going to happen. And then when it happens, they will know that I am the Lord. Over and over and over, the refrain in the book of Ezekiel is, then they will know that I am the Lord. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Then they will know that I am the Lord. When all these disasters strike, then they will know that I am the Lord. We don't want to associate God with that stuff. We've got a little American evangelical PR team that wants everybody to know that God had nothing to do with that. Oh, God had nothing to do with that either. Oh, God had nothing to do with that. Okay, what does God have to do with? Well, I think He's up in heaven planning a party. Well, guess what? Actually, He is planning a party. But He's also in control of the affairs of men. One of the most heartbreaking stories in the Bible is in the book of Ezekiel. When God says to His faithful servant Ezekiel, His trustworthy prophet, I'm about to kill your wife, and you're not allowed to mourn. What? He wouldn't. He did. That day, Ezekiel went and did what God told him to do, and he came home. His wife died. And God said, you're not allowed to mourn. And the reason is not because you don't love her. God describes how He loves her, how she is His delight. And God says, but you are to not mourn, because this is a picture of what is about to happen to the people who were my delight. I loved them. And they're about to be destroyed. And the reason they're about to be destroyed is because, unlike your wife, these people have been unfaithful to me. These people have persisted in demonic evil. Let me tell you something. Whatever disaster befalls this country, it's been a long time coming. Because as a culture, we have been blessed more than any culture in human history. And we have had the Word of God more readily available to us than any people in history. You want a Bible? They're everywhere. You want to know what God says? It's readily available. And yet we as a culture have said, we don't care. We're going to do what we want. And our appetites and our behaviors have become more and more perverse. And the rich have oppressed the poor instead of helping them. And there's been violence, bloodshed, protected by our government, subsidized with our tax dollars, because people prefer darkness to light. The light has come into the darkness, Jesus said, and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. So, Jesus, in the midst of the storm, tells His disciples, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? We're afraid we're going to drown. Well, why shouldn't they be afraid? Because Jesus had given orders that they were to go to the other side. Look back at verse 18. At the start of this whole section, the part we read today begins with these words. When Jesus saw the crowd around Him, He gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. If Jesus says, we're going to the other side of the lake, and then He gets in a boat, and you're following Him, guess where you're going? To the other side of the lake. That's why you don't have to be afraid in the storm. It's because you're following Jesus, and He's in charge. But this is a really big storm. He's no match for Jesus. But the waves, I mean, this isn't imaginary. I'm not afraid that the waves are going to crash over the boat. I'm afraid because the waves are crashing over the boat. Then you are focused on the wrong thing, because Jesus is in the boat and He already said something. We're going to the other side. Folks, do you understand why it is important to be following Jesus and depending on His Word, paying attention to what He says? Because if you know what Jesus says and you're following Him, you do not have to be afraid when the storms come. And I want you to know the storms always come. The storms always come. They don't sometimes come. Well, it's true. Some people have to go through some hard things. Everybody has to go through hard things. My wife and I together have done 14 books. Guess which title has been by far the most popular? Weathering the Storms. Guess why? Because everybody is either going through a storm or knows somebody who's going through a storm. It's not something that happens sometimes. All of us have to go through the storm. All of us have to go through the storm. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, which we just recently looked at, that the person who builds on the sand and the person who builds on the rock both have to go through the storm. It's not you need to build on the rock in case the storms come. It's you need to build on the rock because storms are coming. And if you are not building on the rock when the storms come, your building will collapse. Not might collapse, will collapse. So, you want your life to be a disaster? Or do you want your life to survive disasters? Those are your options. I'll tell you this. I want to know what God says, and I want to follow Jesus. That's what I want. And I'll tell you something else. I want you to know what God says, and I want you to follow Jesus. Okay, so Pastor Wood, do you have a kind of a, like, you know, a summary statement, something that we ought to kind of hang the whole thing on? Yeah, and I hope you'll see the tie. You need to know what God says, and you need to follow Jesus. You need to know what God says and follow Jesus. You need to know what God says and follow Jesus. Got it? Folks, this is just a little piece of this long, wonderful story of how Jesus came to rescue us. I want you to be a part of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You love us more than we can imagine. And that You have provided for us everything we need in Christ Jesus. And so there isn't anything else that comes in a close second. Our earthly family, our comfort, our schedule, they're all way down the list. We want to follow You, Lord. We want to do what You say. Nothing else compares. Thank You that we see again Your power. Your power over sickness, Your power over Satan. Your power over the weather, Your power over all things. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we rejoice. Thank You that because of knowing You, we don't have to be afraid. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.